heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
So think back to a low point of your life, something that happened that really disrupted your life, something that was just dramatic. It was impactful, and you never thought if you were going to get over that, what would really happen. Think about those moments that are life-changing for you. And what I've seen is I look at those moments as opportunities to readdress the future, to take a look back, to step back, in other words, and say, okay, what are we going to do? What are the possibilities? Oftentimes, I know for me, I find when you're in the day-to-day grind of life, sometimes you lose that position of what it's all about. You lose the big picture of life. And the other thing is you sometimes lose, what your purpose is, what the goals are. It's important to have that big picture element, I think, in all of our lives. It's also important for America to have that big picture element. What do we want to be as a country when we grow up? And maybe that's the analogy I want to talk to you about today, when we grow up, because really, in essence, we are just a baby as a country goes when you look at historically at other countries around the world. At 243 and almost 44 years old, we are just a young country. But yet, America, as I've pointed out to you, friends, in past times here, is at that pivotal point of its republic. It's that point where it either becomes the rule or the exception to the rule. And, so when you start to look at all the things we've been through as a country, and I pointed that out to you yesterday on the program with our American history from the beginning in a snapshot version, if you will, all the way through to present day and where we find ourselves, with this pandemic and all, yeah? So you take a look at that and then you think, many of us as patriots, we understand the radical things that some people are trying to do to this nation. And truth be told, it rattles a lot of people. It rocks their boat because we're not talking a lot of these folks, not talking, business as usual. I mean, they really are talking, well, I phrased it yesterday to you, Amerizuela. They're talking about socializing the nation. And I know a lot of people think like it's not really going to happen. You're worried about nothing. That really is the problem, is when you start to take those things for granted and you don't realize the seriousness of the situation. Just like there are people that would think, well, we would never get, specific people in Congress. We would never get people who would put their hand on the Quran and not the Constitution. We would never have those people in Congress. That would never happen, Malcolm. Well, it's happened. And now, as I pointed out to you also, there are more of those people doing that because that's how you change a country. You change a nation from the inside of a nation. You don't do it from the outside. And that's the case in America because it is a mighty country and a superpower on the planet. The way you're going to change this nation is from the inside out. So now you see where this cast of characters come from now in what they're all about and the dangers we face, where we're at, what happens next. So friends, I look at this as an opportunity right now. I know that may not come across well to you, but I think this is a chance for people to step back from their homes, their businesses, their jobs, their livelihoods. And I want to beg of you to encourage other people to step back and ask that question. What kind of an America do we want on the other side of this pandemic? Now, that's a simple question. Doesn't always have a simple answer. It's the only question that really matters to me at the moment, and it's what I want to talk to you today on the program about. Now, I've got a stellar group of patriots coming on a bit after in the program, And this is good because you'll get a sense and a cross idea of what others are thinking in America and what they believe they want on the other side of this pandemic. But let me start by telling you what I see. I promised you yesterday I would tell you what my version of this is and what kind of an America I see on the other side of this pandemic. The kind of America I see is an America that brings back to the time when I was growing up as a young boy, where, you know, we still had, I mean, partisan politics are always going to exist. That's never going to go away because everybody has their own thought process, their own ideology, their own belief system. Now, the thing is, America is great because we have these diversity of opinions and we have the diversity of people. I mean, the beautiful thing about America is we are brown, black, white, yellow, all kinds of colors, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of nationalities, all kinds of opinions. That's the richness of America. That's a beautiful thing. That's not a bad thing. That's what makes this nation exceptional. And our greatness comes from the people. There's a spirit in America, I think, I believe, a sense that patriotism I talk to you about all the time, but there's a spirit in America that you cannot find anywhere else. It does not exist or thrive, really, to, as far as I'm concerned, anywhere else on this planet. So the kind of America we want, the kind of America that Malcolm wants, is an America where we are more respectful with each other. We've lost sight of our diversity of opinion. Part of the problem and part of the challenge is, and technology has added to this, the woes of this in a great deal, in a great way. I mean, there are a lot of positives for technology. Social media is a real positive, but there are also negatives. And the negatives become, we become less tolerant of each other. We don't like, in other words, if you notice even on social media, people snap back in a very aggressive way. They think that's clever or cute or interesting when they get really nasty with people. And somehow that's going to gain them more followers, likes, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of nastiness out there in all levels of social media. People seem and appear to have less patience, less respect for other people's opinions. In other words, we want your, and the Trump people do this as well. The MAGA folks do this as well. In other words, they think everybody needs to have the MAGA opinion. And if you don't like Trump or don't like MAGA, then you're called out immediately as whatever you are. And but then, you know, then the dirty names start to fly in, the adjectives. And anyways, things get really dirty in the mud. But, you know, people are entitled to have their opinion and their thought processes. It doesn't make them a bad person. Doesn't mean you have to engage with those people. But here's another thing, and part of the problem we've had prior is we tend to only a lot of you out there tend to only hang or accept people of your own kind. So we all, and that's just a human condition. You hang with people that are like-minded to you, right? And that's one of the dangers here. It's even one of the dangers on this program and on this network that I've tried to be very careful of. But that's not easy to do at this point of time in our nation, however. The reason it's not easy to do is because we're in that polarized, divisive environment. And typically, those other people run, you know, they run like hell the other way. They get scared of what you're doing. And because we don't come across always as being open, you know, we're not open. And we need to be more open. And that's, so the kind of America I see is we get back to those grassroots of America, and it's really back to where the framers were. They didn't all agree. They'd hash it out. They'd bang each other up. We've had our fights and brawls over the years. I told you that yesterday, in fact, you know. This hasn't been a perfect ride all the way through. But, you know, there's at least a certain respect that you're entitled to your opinion. And I'm not going to call you a dirty SOB jackass, whatever. You see? And I think that's important for us to remember right now, people. So the kind of America I see on the other side of this is an America that is more open to other opinions and diversity of opinions and diversity of people. And we're respectful of that. That we don't succumb to the extremist groups. We don't want the rioting and the destructive people and the forces that are trying to pull our country down, because they all have another agenda. They don't see the America we want, people. Real patriots, real Americans understand what I'm talking about. You out there listening, understand what I'm talking about. The key is we've got to get to those other people. We've got to get to the middle aisle people. I always speak to you about the independents and the moderates and just left of center. And this group of people is very, very vital to the election process in America. And we need to get to those folks. It's a harder toad to get to the extremists. They're not going to tune in to the voice of a nation and listen to probably our conservative patriotic message. Probably not a good chance of them doing that. But, you know, we may get a few along the way. It's hard to say. But I'm not really banking or counting on that specifically. What I'm counting on is you to invite your friends on the left. Some of those are the moderates in the middle of the ground. So those are the people we really need to all get to. That's how elections are decided. They're not decided with people who are, you know, just have a strong ideology and won't bend. I'm this and that's it. And I don't want to be anything else. Of course, a lot of us were brought up that way as Democrats and Republicans is because of our families. I know a lot of people today, they say, yeah, I'm a Democrat. I don't know why the hell I'm a Democrat, but I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. Well, it's because my father was and my grandfather was and my family members were and I just happen to be one. Not really sure why. Now, along the line, some of those people figure it out. And sometimes you hear those stories, and they're amazing stories, that all of a sudden, the bulb went off, and they figured it out. It's like, okay, cool, man. Now, hopefully the light bulb goes off, and they figure it out that they see that, you know, the country is at a reckoning point, and it's at a very crucial, critical point of our existence. These are not games at this point. The stakes could not be higher. One of the big items I want to talk to you about today from my vantage point now, and it's controversial, it's edgy, but it is the conversation of term limits. So if I'm going to talk to you about what kind of an America does Malcolm see on the other side of the pandemic, I've already outlined to you a couple of points already, but this is probably the biggest one right here. Now, term limits, and you know, some people believe, some people don't believe. And I want to really have that conversation with you today as well and weave this into, because here's the thing. When you say, well, why are we talking about that, Malcolm? I mean, well, because people, if we're going to talk about what kind of an America we want on the other side of a pandemic, well, I mean, everything in our life is impacted by government. You know, the legislatures have our lives sometimes on a thread. But, you know, the old saying is very appropriate. You know, you either get involved in government or government will get involved in you. Now, there are a lot of people out there who keep their head underneath the pillow or they don't get involved. And they really firmly believe it doesn't matter. They think they can't make a difference, number one, or they just leave it to others to run their life. There are a lot of people that way. That's a big part of the population, actually. They tune it off. For a lot of reasons. One, they think sometimes they may think it's over their head. Other people may think, you know, that they don't want to get involved in the dirty politics. And they think they can't make a difference. They think they're only one voice. I got news for you. One voice can move mountains. It has. It's done it before. One voice can absolutely move mountains. We have historically the proof of that here in our nation. So there's one site I came across, termlimits.com/petition was interesting. And it's term limits on Congress. And I like this little write-up. That's why I want to qualify it with you. And it says here, Congress was meant to be a citizen legislature. Now, I really like that. That got my attention, bold and big. Congress was meant to be a citizen legislature. That's big. You don't hear that anymore, do you? And well, no, because it's seasoned politicians. Well, that's why Trump has been a cancer to them. He is a pandemic to them. He's a virus unto himself to these people. They don't know what the hell to make of this guy. Who the hell does he think he is? This citizen politician, this citizen businessman is what he is from New York. You know, the big bombastic man from the Bronx and who. You know, that, I mean, he just scares them all. And, you know, because he's in their turf. He's a prime example about this whole conversation of term limits. And of course, the presidency has term limits. but the buffoons in Congress do not, you know? And so, but anyway, so Congress was meant to be a citizen legislature. Our representatives were supposed to go to Washington, serve for a short time, then return to live under the laws they made. This vision has been lost. Goes on to say, Congress is now a haven for career politicians who put their own power, perks, and privileges ahead of public service. Even worse, they are impossible to unseat thanks to cozy connections with lobbyists and special interests. Well, this broken system needs repair. U.S. term limits is a fighting call, fighting to call a convention under Article 5 of the Constitution to propose an amendment for term limits on the U.S. House and Senate. If we do not act now, we may never be able to bring back government of, by, and for the people. Now, that's interesting. I like that little write-up. You see what I mean? And I love the citizen legislature because that's real people. That's where the rubber meets the road, you know? That's interesting. And it's actually a petition on there. And I'll put all the links, when this does go to podcast after talk radio, I'll put the links in the post for you. But it's real easy. Termlimits.com/petition. And you'll be where I was just talking about right now. It looks like a very cool site, actually, with a lot of stuff on there. So worth checking out for sure. But I like the citizen legislature that I mentioned to you just now. And then I looked to think back, okay, well, I know there are a lot of people opposing this, so I look a little further, and I looked at the Brookings Institute there, and Brookings, you know Brookings, and I see an interesting piece on there, 5 reasons to oppose congressional term limits. And I think this piece was back in, I think it was just like maybe a year or two ago. It's a fairly new piece, like 2018, 2019, something like that. So it's new information, you know. And here's the quote they have at the top. Now, let this resonate with you a moment. Nothing renders government more unstable than a frequent change of the persons that administer it. That's Roger Sherman. That's an open letter in 1788, by the way. Interesting words there. He thought nothing renders government more unstable than a frequent change of the persons that administer it. And then I think often to what Roger Sherman says here, and I'm thinking, well, but how you wouldn't exactly call us stable right now, would you? I mean, Roger's not here anymore. This was 1788, but, you know, I mean, how can you say that nothing renders government more unstable than a frequent change? Because what's also unstable is keeping the same cats there, and until they leave Congress in a wheelchair and an oxygen tank, which I've pointed out to you countless times, how is that impactful? Right now we're looking at a presidential candidate who clearly has dementia, if not something else seriously wrong with him, you know, and they're trying to get him in the presidency, would be the oldest president in our lifetime ever, and one that clearly would not be able to function at any level. But that just gets to the point of what I'm talking about. And a lot of, you remember Robert Byrd, you know, some of these cats that come out of their 90s, legitimately on an oxygen tank, and I've seen them. I've seen the pictures, and I can't even believe it. How's that healthy? How's that bring stability to our government is what I ask you. Well, this post gets really interesting with the Brookings Institute and what they say here. They say congressional term limits have long been argued to be an easy mechanism for improving the effectiveness of Congress and government at large. More specifically, advocates suggest term limits would allow members to spend less time dialing for dollars and more time on policymaking, allow them to make unpopular but necessary decisions without fear of retaliation at the ballot box, and avoid the corruptive influence of special interests that may assume is an inevitable result of spending too much time in Washington, D.C. And friends, they spend a lot of time there, and they become corrupt. Their brains become corrupt. Anyways, they give 5 examples here. And again, I'll put the address of this in the post as well, but it's on Brookings. You may not be able to find it that easy, and it's a long address, but I'll put it in the post when it gets to the podcast network, okay? But the 5 things, real simple. Let me just, real fast. Number 1, take power away from voters. They're saying that if we have term limits, it takes the power away from the voters, because the most obvious consequence of establishing congressional term limits is that it would severely curtail the choice of voters. A fundamental principle in our system of government is that voters get to choose their representatives. And that always has been the first argument toward this, okay? Second one is severely decrease congressional capacity. Policymaking, they're saying, is a profession in and of itself. You see, it's a system, yeah? And our system tasks lawmakers with creating solutions to pressing societal problems, often with no simple answers and with huge likelihoods for unintended consequences. Yeah, we get that. And the dangers of not having term limits also play to that problem. But I hear you, Brookings, yeah. The third thing, limit incentives for gaining political expertise, okay? So that they believe members who know their time in Congress is limited will face less pressure to develop expertise on specific issues, simply because in most cases, the knowledge accrued won't be nearly as valuable in a few short years. Well, you know, I often think in those terms, actually, in our lives, too, when we get older. You know, we get smarter as we get older, and of course, we get less attractive as well, visually. I mean, of course, the attractiveness of a person is probably more from the inside than the outside anyways. But the point is, I've often wondered that age-old question. You know, people, the same argument would be people that are, you know, like these brains that are, you know, 80, 90 years old, and then they die with all that knowledge, and what happens, and why didn't God give us more time, like back in Genesis, where you could live for 800-900 years or 1,000 years or whatever, right? And we can't do that anymore, right? We have a shorter lifespan, so you're lucky if you get the 100, right? But then, you know, you're still, and then there's a new generation of new ideas and new thoughts. So it's the same thing with Congress, isn't it? I mean, it's a new generation of new ideas and new thoughts, right? Anyways, you get the picture. Number four, automatically kick out effective lawmakers. No matter how knowledgeable effectual a member may be in the arduous task of writing and advancing legislation, term limits would ensure his or her talents will run up against a strict time horizon. To what I say, too bad, so sad, right? But number five is do little to minimize corruptive behavior or slow the revolving door. Because term limits have never existed on the federal level, political scientists have studied states and foreign governments' experiences with term limits to project what effects the measure would have on Congress. And these studies regularly find that many of the corruptive, swampy influences advocates contend would be curtailed by instituting term limits are, in fact, exasperated by their implementation. That's a mouthful, but everything they put in there has always got a counteract. And that's fine. That's their opinion. I mean, I'm okay with that, because I just said to you before this, everybody's got an opinion, and that's fine. The pandemic, when we get to the other side, I mean, does it become business as usual? Do we get back to that, you know, all these career politicians, and you know most of them don't have our best interest at heart. I mean, come on, you know that. You know a lot of them are just, they're self-gratifying, the decisions they make. Many of them in the past here have gotten caught with their hand in the cookie jar. Remember, they have the slush fund up there. Remember the hush fund with all the dollars because of all their sexual challenges, issues, abuse, and things of that nature. I mean, this is a corrupt body of people. I mean, nobody can really argue that they're not. I mean, this is corrupt. What we're doing is we're breeding corruption. And then as you see through the pandemic and through the legislation of trying to help the American people, there's also the corruption, because they're not really citizen legislature. They're career politicians who are just worried about the next 2, 4, 6 years out. They're ready for the next election, or they're ready to sell stock. Or you see the other problem where they all sold stock. They come out of their big meetings. They knew things that we didn't know as a public about the pandemic, and then they went ahead and got there. And Republicans and Democrats alike did this, by the way. This isn't a left problem. The right is as guilty as the left, by the way. The far right and the far left are equally in matrimony corrupt. They're both extremist people. Let's be clear on that. So they both did this here. They go sell their stock right away and do things that, is it ethical? Probably not. And you see this, you know, you see other politicians that are consistently, you know, being brought up on charges for corrupt behavior. It happens on a regular basis. There are recent examples of that. So in capsule, in summary here for me, the fact that everything comes from our legislatures that impact our lives. For me, I think if I'm going to paint to you my picture of America, I'm going to say simply, let's be open to other opinions and thoughts. Absolutely. Let's embrace the diversity of people and embrace America for the greatness that it is. America is great because of its people. We are the center for innovation. We are the center for inspiration. We are the most patriotic people on the planet. And the ingenuity and the innovation that comes from the American spirit is untouched. I mean, it's a gem. It's what makes this country. It's what makes it, it's just an amazing spirit. A lot of that comes back to capitalism. They're trying to change that on us now as well, to socialism, aka communism. And that's a big movement in this country. I addressed that yesterday with you. It's a big movement. It's not just a casual conversation, and it's not in the closet anymore, people. Like everything else in your life right now, they're all out of the closet. Everything is. Everybody wants their voice, and they want you to hear them, whether it's the communist, the socialist, whoever the corrupt is, or the Islam movement, Sharia law. It's all out of the closet. You understand where I'm going here? Now, that doesn't make us bigots or racists or xenophobes or anything. Absolutely not. We love the diversity of this country, so get the wax out of your ears and listen to me. That's not what I'm saying. I know some of you think that way. Of course, that's how the left spins it all the time. That's their favorite choice of words they use because they don't have anything else to fight with people, so they always fight with the emotions of people. I mean, come on, figure it out, will you? I mean, you got to be onto these people by now. I mean, come on. Anyways, that's the America I see. And again, if we're going to, you know, focus on that shining city on the hill and the spirit of America again, I think it's time to really clamp down, enforce term limits on our legislation on Washington. And it's going to take a lot to do that because these people are, they're going to, how do you say there, you know how they scream, you have to take them kicking and screaming or something. That's probably what we'll have to do with the political class because they want their cake and they want to eat it too. So friends, on the other side of this, I look at this as an opportunity for America, this pandemic, this moment of time. I look at it as an opportunity for us to grow up. I look at this as for an opportunity for us to leave the toys behind and begin to become more acceptable as a people and embrace the diversity and the beautiness of America and get that citizen legislature up there. And let's make Donald Trump not the first citizen businessman to become president. And we'll deal with the hiccups and what comes out of that. I believe these people are smart enough to do the job. And the stakes of that are far better to me than to have the oxygen tank and the wheelchair episodic version that they're playing out now. And because we ain't getting anywhere with that, it's just a corrupt system. Well, let's talk more now about the kind of America with a distinguished panel. And I want you to think about the same thing now, what kind of an America you want on the other, because your voice matters out there. Let the silent voices be heard. That's our mantra here. Your voice matters. What kind of an America do you want on the other side of the pandemic? Let's put that question out on social media. Let's get people to answer it. Let's create a movement out of this. Let's create some action. Let's make it happen. Stay right there, friends. We'll be back with more Voice of a Nation and a great panel opportunity to chat with America in just a moment. It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the people. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan. protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthycell.com/sleep.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
So again, the question, what kind of an America do we want on the other side of the pandemic? Because at our lowest point in part of life is an opportunity to make it better the next time out. Like in your personal life, that's the case. In America, it's the same thing. We can become a better country after this pandemic, I want to suggest to you. And I want to talk to you about this next with a distinguished panel of patriots. These are terrific people here to introduce you to here. Let's start first with certainly a voice you know on the platform here, Ava Armstrong. Ava's a political commentator and radio personality here. She's a best-selling author who writes about real people, real men and women patriots, people on the front lines, typically a focus too of our law enforcement military, but also farmers and regular people. Her books are on Amazon and on the America Out Loud bookstore. We have a lot of great authors as experts, so please check them out on the bookstore, friends. All right, Ava, so the profound question I want to start with is that question I've been asking and beating the drum here for a couple of days, which to some people would sound like an odd question when you're in the throes of a pandemic, but it's not for me in my world. What kind of an America does Ava want on the other side of the pandemic? Answer that question first before you come after me. Go ahead.
I want the type of America that our founders wrote about. One of the quotes that you just put up, you talked about in your intro. The founders wrote about dangerous liberty versus safe slavery, okay? And right now, America is very much at a tipping point. We don't even realize how closely we are to socialism right now. We've moved so far to the left. And there's a tweet that Dinesh D'Souza put out today. And it says, this is what government dependency means. It means waiting on edge at the cliff of despair for arrogant, self-serving politicians to act when they perceive it to be in their interest. May we be spared the fate of enduring this humiliation on a normal basis. And then he has the hashtag socialism sucks. You have to look around you right now and wonder what is going on. I know we have a pandemic, but gun shops are being closed in various states in the nation. People's rights are being infringed upon. We can't worship, we can't gather, we can't do many things. So social media has taken the place of that, okay? And as far as term limits, I'm going to challenge you a little bit on this. I would like to have a physical exam, very rigorous physical exam, including dementia screening for every person that serves in our government, in the Congress. Term limits are a double-edged sword for me. Mm-hmm. There's a new generation right now of radicals, and they're forcing Nancy Pelosi's hand. I'm hoping you can see this. Mm-hmm. These radicals, they want to swear in on the Quran. They want to completely revise the whole country. They want to make this whole country not just socialist. They want to push it over the cliff to communist, okay, mm-hmm. and Marxist. This is where it ends. And people, if they don't see this coming, I mean, you think this pandemic is bad. You wait until you have no rights. And right now I'm looking around me and I'm seeing what that might look like.
Well, Ava, you make some really terrific points there. Number one is that, as I addressed earlier, Ava, the people who have their head underneath the pillow that think nothing ever applies to them and they're just going to live their own life and you run the parade, those are the danger to the system. And there are there's a big part of the population, a great percentage that fit into that category. You know that, right?
I do.
They've turned it off entirely. I have to also say to you is that the quote from Dinesh D'Souza is a brilliant tweet, brilliant quote. I mean, that because what he has done right now is put that out there in a way that makes should make every American think. If you like this right now, That's a great example to talk about. I'm so glad you brought that to the table today, because if you like this right now, where you, your whole life is dependent upon what these clowns do on Pennsylvania Avenue, then this would be the perfect invitation for socialism, right? Or communism, correct?
It is. This is what it feels like. I want people to understand what it feels like, because many people on social media are outraged at all, you know, our rights are being violated every day.
Yeah.
I know it's for the greater good. I know we have to pull together and do social distancing, and I'm all for that. I'm 100% in, you know, I'll do anything President Trump tells us to do right now, because he's looking out for our better interests.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it makes sense to social distance. We can't allow the virus to continue ravaging, you know, Americans at a great number. We have to get ahead of this. So yeah, I will comply, because it's for the greater good.
But we all but have to do that.
I look at this with a very jaundiced eye always, okay? Right. I always pull back and look at the big picture.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's a very scary picture right now.
Yeah. Well, you're a thinker, Ava. I one of the things I love about you is you're a thinker, and you look at things big picture, which is why you and I have that commonality of looking at things for the better, for the greater good, Ava, mm-hmm. right? For the greater good. You know, I got to tell you, Dinesh D'Souza is a big thinker. I just want to point that out. The reason you think about the quote he put out there, Ava, so in the same way that you are, but he's a big thinker. And that's why that's a profound, I still can't get over that tweet, because it just takes the perfect moment right now of where we're at. And it reminds people, which is, I guess, in a way, Ava, I might say, it's what I tried to do yesterday to our listeners when I talked about socialism, and I weaved it in and right. out of our American story. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it was the same thing, but he did it.
Effective.
Yeah. He did it eloquently, though, in a matter of a tweet, which is a perfect thing. But I want to say to you, I like your idea, by the way, of the term limits. And I don't disagree with you on the fact that it's the fragility. I don't throw that out there like a like a casual nothing, like, oh, yeah. Now, I get it. I get what the ramifications are. It's just that when I put both sides on the scale and I weigh the scale out, Ava, I then come up with the conclusion that the argument that you've got to let the American people pull who they want on there, well, when people are not paying attention to the real debate and they do have their head under the pillow and they go into the polling booth and they just pick out the R or the D or whatever suits them and they pay no attention. Because, like, how does Dianne Feinstein get reelected, or Nancy Pelosi, when you look at San Francisco and you see those cities, you say, well, how do they get elected? I mean, they're not taking care of their own constituents, for God's sakes. And you see the crime and the corruption and the homelessness and the problems out on the streets, and you say, well, how can that person ever get elected? Right?
But for every Nancy Pelosi, you mm-hmm. have to think about a Senator Tom Cotton, okay? For every Dianne Feinstein, you have to think about a Senator Ted Cruz.
Well, two thoughts. I do think of that, because there are some good people in there. But you know what, Ava? There are other positions and there are other things they can do in government. It doesn't have to be in that same seat, quite frankly. And if we're going to have what the framers intended, which was that citizen legislature, which I know mm-hmm. you endorse.
I do.
Then this, I know you do. I know you do. And those are beautiful words, and which is why, you know, as a businessman, as a citizen businessman, what, you know, Trump went to Washington, right? What he did, same thing, kind of thing. And you and I've talked about that as well. But, you know, I do like what you say, though, about screening and dementia and a test. I, you know what? I am totally on that page. There should be some level of, I don't know if you want to do it, even an IQ test. Again, not trying to be a smart guy here, but some of these people are as dumb as rocks. I mean, you take, well, again, I know it sounds like I'm picking on people, but you take the AOC gal and some of those people that fit her narrative. You can't tell me they would pass an IQ test, Ava.
That's the new generation of radicals coming up in the Democrat Party. It's not the Democrat Party anymore. It's the party of radicals. That's how we need to address it.
Yeah, interesting. I love what you say about the testing. I learned some things from what you say there. Let me bring on now and have us join in the conversation another voice you all know here, and that's Dennis Santiago joins us. And Dennis is an American strategist. He focuses on strategic warfare, asymmetric warfare, arms control, global stability. He's a voice here at America Out Loud. You hear him all the time on Viewpoint this Sunday and on Voice of a Nation, and we could call him as well. And all right, so Dennis, let's start first with the question I ask you up front that I ask everybody, I ask every listener in America here, what kind of an America do we want on the other side of the pandemic? Let's answer that first and then we can get into some of the other. Tell me what that is, please.
America is an experiment that argues loudly with itself. And nothing about that should change, because if we wind up in an America after this pandemic that goes one direction or another, there are competing views of how this should work. You know, you got Jim Clyburn that has a different view of how the world should turn out after the pandemic, very different from the one that you've espoused over the last couple of days. It's as legitimate an argument for, you know, what you want to do with America as any else. But what's important about getting back to the founders' vision for this country is that those kinds of debates and raucous arguments about where we take this American experiment continue to go on. We're about to see several changes to the underlying things about how we view life in the United States. The question about whether or not urban living is as viable as we thought it was is going to come to fore. I mean, the New York City at 24,000 people per square mile is a hot zone. If you look at the maps of where this stuff is erupting in the United States, you'd look at where people are most concentrated, and people are going to ask questions about that. This thing is also disproportionately going after older people, and that is going to change the way that our people are, the demographics of who votes for people to get into Congress, to younger generation people faster than the original demographic charts were showing. And that's going to change things too. We have to take all this stuff into account. And if we are not flexible about what the way we discuss it, we are in for a lot of trouble.
Talk to me about the term limits and your thoughts about that. How do you feel about that? You heard Ava, you heard my, we put it out there. What do you think?
I'm not really of a mind to change the way the term limits themselves are put together at this point in that. What I do mind is are things like allowing people who are not part of, don't even live in their districts, to represent the any part in the state. Federal offices do not require residency, particularly for House seats, where you live. So, you know, you got people living on one side of the state representing different parts because they're just basically buying seats. And then you've got gerrymandering that makes it so you can't ever get them out. The problem that we have here is that we have created fiefdoms all over this country.
That's right.
Where you've locked in how Congress is put together, and there's no way to change it. We made those mistakes structurally. Now, you know, and to Ava's point about the experience level that we have in some of our best legislators are things that we don't necessarily want to lose. I understand they can go someplace else, but they'll get displaced, and you lose what is essentially the corporate learning of America on a regular basis by doing that. However, the representation of government by the people has long since been changed by the gerrymandering of all our voting districts. You know what I do first? I would basically really think we need to go back to Maidenhead square districts that pay no attention to who lives inside there, but just count the number of bodies from left to right until it gets to a certain number. And then whatever is in there, they have that, and then make residency a requirement for the House. And that will change things just as much, and it will still allow us to have experienced legislators that can continue to show that they have value to their constituency to go on.
Okay. All right. All right. Let me bring in another voice right now. It's a new voice to the platform. You haven't heard it before, but excited to have here with us, Robin Hilton. And Robin is a social media influencer. And really what she has said to me is she's working to ensure that our republic continues for her grandchildren's future, which I think, Robin, I think a lot of us feel that way, because we feel, many of us do, that the country, for many, is slipping away, at least what we intended, you know, our vision of America. And we always reference back to the Constitution, always reference back to the framers here, because it's worked. It's worked for a lot of years to make us what we are. So let me start and ask you the same question I've asked Dennis and Aver, and that is, what kind of an America do you want on the other side of this pandemic?
I think our school system needs fixing. The indoctrination that's going on with our children, we need to fix the indoctrinating that's been going on, that the gender, I think it's very confusing for our kids. I just don't think it's good for our kids to be raised like that. And when our kids are going in, you know, with that story time, and it's mm-hmm. like, it's just, they're looking at it as it's playtime, dress up time, but it's not, they're not looking at it as, you know, boy, girl, it's dress up time, and it's just too confusing for them. I just don't get it.
Yeah. Well, what they're doing is they're pushing an agenda, I think, Robin, is what they're doing. And the education system is a great point to bring up, actually. It fits into this conversation today brilliantly, because we talk about it a lot on the platform here. As you said, the word, the indoctrination of the kids. But then let me ask you this question. What do you think they're up to? Because as they put these narratives out there, the people who are doing this, the kids, I think the goal is they want the kids to think this is normal behavior, so that men dress up as women as normal behavior. And they've made such a big focus out of transgender that it's okay. You can be called a shimmit. If you're a girl and you don't like it, you can become a boy. If you're a boy and don't like it, you can become a girl. And hasn't that all become sort of normal?
It's not normal at all. Mm-hmm. And I feel sorry for these kids. But then you've got these parents that are backing it.
They support it, you mean? They're supporting it?
Yeah, supporting it. And I'm just blown away by it.
Why do you think they do that?
I think they need help. I really do. This is not something that was normal in my time, and I just can't get behind supporting that. And you know, I'm just lost with it.
Well, Robin, you find one of the things is that when you give the crazy left an inch, they take a mile.
Yes.
Well, that's what's happened. So in other words, we started with the closet thing. You know, I talk about socialism and Sharia law in the closet. And people are saying, like Ava said, well, that's a real problem right now. And that's out. And people say, well, that's never going to happen here. Shut up. We're never going to be socialists. Or we're never going to have Sharia law here. They're already doing it in certain cities or towns in America. They're already in our Congress, you buffoons. What do you think they're going to do or not do?
Exactly.
Well, it's the same thing now with this whole trend. You give them an inch. You said, well, at one point it was, we want to be able to abort the kids, and we want to be able to, and now we want to kill them on the outside of the womb. And then we want to, you know, have the whole thing, gay rights and gay marriage. And so, okay, so bring that out of the closet. And the right says, okay, that's cool. I mean, not really, it kind of goes against, you know, a few things. I mean, and this isn't a conversation about gay here or not gay, because I think everybody's entitled to live the life they want, Robin. It's not for me to judge you or so right. on and so forth. And I'm okay with that. I'm not anti-phobia or any. That's not the conversation here, people. Let's be clear. And right. But you know what I'm saying? But those people as well. And then it's like, you know, now they want to, well, we want, you know, we want to force this gender identity thing, which is what, and the generation now, when this first started, I couldn't believe it, actually. Because the whole gender thing was out there like there was no tomorrow.
Exactly. It needs to just, we need to just scrap our whole education system and start over. And, you know, you're talking about the whole Islamic thing. That scared me. That was one of the reasons I started with Twitter to do something. That was my direction. That scared me to death that was the direction our country was going with that, and seeing how many of those is in our Congress already, and that, you know, so many of them are running, and the people that are still electing them, it just blows my mind.
Well, that's because it's become normal behavior.
Exactly.
Let me bring back here. Let's open up the conversation. I want to bring back in Ava to talk about what we're talking about right now. And let's open the whole conversation up here. Ava, so you hear Robin bring up, it's a great point to bring up in this conversation today about the education. What do you say to that with what Robin puts out there?
She's exactly right. That's where the new generation of radicals is coming from. You have to understand these children are being indoctrinated. And I think parents are getting an eye-opening moment at home right now. They're doing school online. And a lot of children, their parents are leaning over their shoulder looking at the curriculum they're studying. And I can tell you from personal experience, a lot of people that I've talked to are really outraged. So this may be a very eye-opening moment. It's a pandemic, yes, but it's also revealing in many ways. I want to also mention quickly referendums at the state level in every state. In my state, it used to be completely conservative, 100%, okay? They have now destroyed our voting here. We have ranked choice voting. We do not have one vote, one person. You have to vote for as many people who are on the ballot. And then they rank it as to how many people won this round and the next round. And so your candidate will never make it. I want you to understand this is destroying our constitutional right to vote. And I'm fighting it in my state. But you have to understand how dangerous this is.
Yeah. So that's another gray area they're trying to muddy up, huh?
Oh, yeah. They're taking away one vote, one person.
Yeah. Well, you know, they have a different agenda here, again, and what they're trying to accomplish. And remember, a lot of these people, Ava, are trying to change these districts from one political religion to the next, right?
Exactly.
And it's by hook or by crook. And in this case, it's definitely by crook in how they're trying to do
it. And you look at California. I'm sure Dennis can speak to that. Look what referendums have done in California.
Dennis, what do you think? And, you know, Ava mentioned California. I mean, you live in a area out in the L.A. area that is it's certainly on the front lines of doing some of these weird things.
When it comes to education, I think something very interesting is going to happen with the educational system in this country. Because of this pandemic and because it's supposed to last longer than people believe, the school systems are having to adapt to teaching online. Interestingly enough, right now they're saying that everything that the kid does at home isn't going to count for schoolwork because they can't deliver it to every child equally. Which is the school system, I think, trying to maintain control over these kids' lives. I think that's going to change because when all this is said and done, it's going to prove that the old system that we had of having children come into schools and taking up a lot of property around this country and a lot of infrastructure isn't as necessary as it used to be. And it doesn't have to be that way anymore. And what that will allow us to do is ask the more important question for the cultural education of children. Is that something that schools should still really be doing? Or is that something that should be put back into the hands of the parents?
We get people engaged out there, Americans, to really understand this opportunity we have right now.
I think we need to put out the word to parents that you have a lot more power than you realize. It's kind of like a Wizard of Oz thing. You're wearing the ruby slippers already. So use them. Use your powers, your parental powers, to shape the curriculum that you want your child to be exposed to. Use your powers to give your children the values that you want them to have. You don't have to go by the values of your state school or whatever, you know, curriculum they're in. You can pull out of that at any time, and you can do Khan Academy online, free.
Yeah, and I think more and more people are going to be doing that. And we've actually been talking about that for the last many years the school at home, homeschooling. And it's actually become a popular thing over the past several years, Ava. I mean, it's not a new thing.
It's become very popular. And, you know, more and more curriculums are coming out that are available to parents to look at. Khan Academy happens to be one of my favorites. But, really investigate this. Because if you can work from home and you can school your child from home, it is amazing. I mean, I'm talking to some parents who are doing this right now, and their eyes have been open.
Well, that's exactly it. Robin, what do you think of that idea? Because this kind of goes to the program you're talking about where they're indoctrinating the kids in all these belief systems and other things. So do you see more parents taking this back home and teaching the kids after this thing settles down?
Oh, absolutely. My grandkids were going to a Christian school, but this year they had to go to a public school. But my daughter is actually homeschooling them right now. So I do believe that she will continue doing that.
Wow. Wow, yes. That's a game changer, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
You see, and we're looking at more families maybe doing that across the country. I don't think it's going to be limited to one or two. I think a lot. So what we're looking at here, probably, Robin, is a restructuring of our priorities as a people, you know, restructuring our priorities. And I think we all have to look at life that way right now. But Robin, when I talk about this being an opportunity, I know some people don't look at it that way, but we've got to get that message out to folks that right now is a time for them to step back and really evaluate their lives and begin to ask yourself, are you happy in your life? And what kind of changes do you want to make otherwise? Don't you think this is that kind of an opportunity?
Oh, yes, definitely. It was a rude awakening when they had been going to a Christian school for the last, 4 years, and then they had to go to a public school. It was a rude awakening.
Yeah. What do you think, real quickly, about term limits, Robin? Do you think this is the time to do it, or do you think it's not a good idea?
Oh, we definitely need term limits. It is a must.
So you would agree with what I put out then about it over the last couple of days then about the term?
Oh, right? Yes. Yes, we do need it.
Yeah. Well, it's a point to really look at the system and understand, what comes next here. And then when I question you about term limits, you say, well, but we need to give that right to the American people. And sure, that's the same people who are not paying attention to anything, who just go in and vote, D's because their great-great-grandmother was a Democrat. And so they do that. I have no knowledge or idea how else would Pelosi be reelected to office. If they went in and any of those politicians out there, and they went in and they really looked at their record, whoever it is, and they voted on that record for the quality of life that they have in those cities, in those towns, in those markets, and they voted on those records and said, that's how we're going to judge you, whether we're going to give you another 2, 4, or 6 years. If that was the judge, does anybody in their right mind think that any of these politicians would get in? Right, exactly. So why are they getting in now? Why do the same clowns get elected again and again and again and again and again? Because it's that large percentage of the population that says, okay, Mom, my arms are off the wheel. You take the wheel and run with it. You tell us what to be, how to be, and who to be. And then you say to me, well, socialism's not going to be a problem. Hell, it's going to be a problem. These are the same people that do the voting that way. They're happy if someone else runs the program. So for all of you that are sitting at home to say, well, this will never happen here, well, you're a damn liar. Of course it's going to happen here, people. Just like everything else is happening here. Just like right now that, it's not about gay marriage anymore. It's about changing body parts and having mutual bathrooms and little Johnny and little Mary go out and go pee-pee together. That's what this is about, right? And so it's just you give them an inch, they take a mile. You give them an inch, they take a mile. You give them an inch, they take a mile. How about we not give them any more inches? Let's cut them right off the pass and cut them out of the will. Let's cut them out of the American will. How about that? Yeah, I like that idea. So let's use this as an opportunity to forge ahead together and make a beautiful America forward, dear friends. As always, a tremendous thank you here to Dennis Santiago, Ava Armstrong, and Robin Hilton. Thank you out there most of all for being part of the journey here, and thank you for sharing the good word out there and telling people about all the things that are going on back at America Out Loud. We are a grassroots movement there, and we hope you'll be part of that grassroots movement and get the word out there. See, it's time to get involved and get loud.